If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
All right. How are you getting on? You well? You good? You juiced? You juiced? Do you drink fruits? I feel like my arms look big. I haven't been to the gym or anything. I'm actually thinking about getting into creatine at the moment. I was watching a TikTok there and I was like, yeah, creatine is what I need right now. Haven't been to the gym in ages. Still paying for it. Haven't been upkeeping my 30 grams of protein within half an hour of waking up thing that I was doing for a while. But now I'm thinking, no, I need to buy creatine and get into the loading phase where I take 20 grams a day and then five for a week and then 5 grams a day after that. I know about this shit, but I don't do it. That's what they say. What's that quote? You know, if we all did what we know, we'd be geniuses with six packs, you know? X-Pac! Can't stop thinking about wrestling. I haven't watched WrestleMania, so I'm not going to be talking about that. That'll be coming in a later pod. I'll talk a bit about wrestling later on, but I'm going to keep talking about my creatine intake. It's mad, just there's so much information that I'm there on the couch. I'm like thinking, will I have a glass of water? Will I put a bit of ice in it? And then I swipe up on TikTok and I'm like, I need to take creatine. And then I'll swipe up again and I'll see, you know, a review of the new game Dragon's Dogma 2. And I'll be like, I had no interest in playing this at all, but I think I need to get this now. Everything is like, How can I get it? But I'm feeling juiced because I'm sort of wearing smaller t-shirts, guys. Well, actually, my clothes were filthy for a while and I hadn't done a wash in ages after the holiday. So I started going into my old t-shirts, you know, t-shirts I got as gifts. I had a t-shirt there I got from my dad of Grogu, Baby Yoda. And it says, when you're cute, you know it, you know. I was wearing that around and it actually fit really well. And then I was wearing another t-shirt from Game of Thrones my dad got me, which was just a Tyrion Lannister quote that said, I drink and I know things. And he was like, that's you. And I'm like, you're not wrong, apart from me knowing things. And I have a very high brow, though, for kind of graphic tees and what you want to represent. I don't think there's a better man in the graphic tee game right now than Kevin McGarren. He's got one t-shirt that is just stacked up VHSs of John Carpenter films. And I'm like, you know, let me into your world. Let me in. I'll be gentle, I swear. It's just a spoon. You know, if my hand reaches around, it's probably because I think you're Terry. So I'll only, you know, I'm not going to tell you and more about that. But it got me thinking because my young fella really wanted to wear a Spider-Man t-shirt. And I was listening to Bill Burr on a podcast and he was saying, you know, I let my kid wear whatever they want. Because I remember what it was like going in somewhere wearing something you didn't want and how you didn't have the confidence. You'd go in there and you'd be like, I don't feel 100%. So he lets his daughter and his son wear whatever they want. So I had that kind of epiphany this morning. We went in, a bit rushed for creche. He had this pretty shitty looking, call a spade, as I said, we didn't have many clean clothes. Pretty shitty looking dinosaur t-shirt that kind of looked like for a one-year-old, but it fit him because it was stretched. And he's like, I don't want to wear this. And I'm like, well, it's cold. It says you just wear it. And then we got to the crash and he's like, can I take this off? And I'm like, well, no, because it's a bit cold. And he's like, can I? And I was like, yes. Yeah, sorry, you can't take it off. And then I remember that. And he took it off and he had a red panda t-shirt underneath. And he went out holding the t-shirt out, being like, look at this. And everyone came over being like, oh my God. And I'm like, I almost stole him that moment. So thank you very much, Bill Burr. But it got me thinking, I used to wear a lot of graphic tees growing up. And it's the same thing when you're a kid. Like you wear a Spider-Man t-shirt. I had like Ultimate Warrior t-shirt. I had, you know, a Star Wars Darth Maul t-shirt that was embossed. It was embossed. You'd be fucking roasting in it because it's literal vinyl on your chest and it was black as well. It was attracting the heat. But I wore graphic t-shirts because I was shy and I kind of wanted... You go through an era of graphic tees. When you're a kid, it's like, hey, I like Spider-Man. I need you for when you see me, just talk about Spider-Man. Is that okay? Fine. And it's a great conversation starter. Spider-Man. And then you go, web the fucking cunt. Didn't need to be so vulgar there. Web him. Bit of Gary energy in here right now. I think it's the bright lights. I've been recording podcasts in my car. And now I feel like I'm on display with a little pink bum, you know? And I'm saying things. I'm swearing because you're making me nervous. You're making me nervous right now. Nervous? No, there's an era of, I'm not nervous, I do this for a job. There's an era of graphic tees where you're like, hey, look at me, talk to me about Spider-Man. Then you get into your kind of band tees and you're like, you might start off with a bit of a Green Day to try to attract other Green Day fans, bit of a Nirvana. Then you start wearing, you know, People Equal Shit t-shirts from Slipknot or Cradle of Filth long sleeves with a woman bathing in blood in a bath. You're wearing this shit on your, you know, on your chest. And then you're getting into the kind of era of like, hey, I actually know more about you, know more about this shit than you do. I'm in with a clique that you don't even know. You know, you're kind of like, you're wearing it abrasively to get a bit of attention, you know? And then you get into the era when you're getting to your 20s of, you know, the odd graphic tee, but you can't really be wearing, this is my era anyway, can't really be wearing graphic tees to a lot of things you're going to, you know, can't be really wearing them to work maybe. If you're going out to the club, you might be wearing a shirt, you know? So the graphic tees for me kind of fell by the wayside. Then back in the 30s, you're kind of like, hey, now it's kind of back when I was a kid. I need you to talk to me about Capitol Records. That's the one I have on right now. I need you to talk to me about the label that released the Beatles early stuff in America. I need us to have that conversation. If that's like, cool. If that's cool with you, that's cool with me. Do you want to talk about Meet the Beatles? Do you want to talk about Please Please Me? Do you want to talk about the Ed Sullivan Show? No, then get the fuck out of my way. Then get the fuck out of my way. But my graphic tee collection has kind of fallen by the wayside. I still have t-shirts from when I was 17. I got a Rubber Soul t-shirt that I got as a birthday present when I was 17. It's a Beatles shirt. And it has holes in the neck. It has hot rock holes from hash lava, you know. But now you're getting into the kind of refined graphic tee. Is there a Japanese version of it? That's the easy hack. If you want to get like a poster of your favorite film, find the Japanese version. And you're like, oh, wow, this guy's really refined because no one knows what the fuck it's saying on that poster. But it's not really t-shirt weather, though. It's been a bit nippy now, I have to say. Been a bit nippy. There was some thunderous rainstorms. We were walking to Crest the other day and there was earthworms fucking everywhere. And they were just like crawling around. And Terry was like, I think they're trying to mate. And I'm like, I doubt that very much. You know, that'd be like in World War One, hopping out of the trenches, trying to ride a German. That's a bad idea. You're going to get a bullet hole or pecked up by a giant bird. That's a bad idea for shagging. I mean, I get the danger element of it, like dogging, but not a very good idea. And I said, I think it was just, there was a lot of rain, my dear. But I respect her that she knows a bit more about nature than I do, so I went along with it. But then a taxi man said it was definitely the rain. So anyway, Terry sees all these earthworms and she's like, oh, look, they're going to get picked up by the birds. So she starts throwing a few, picks up like three and throws them back in the grass. And then she's like, there is actual hundreds of these earthworms all over the road. I'm not going to be able to save them all. And I said, you know, that reminds me of this parable that I heard from Zig Ziglar. And she's like, oh, for and I kept talking. Zig Ziglar, I've talked about him before, the sales guru, life coach guy. My dad had his books on tape. My dad was into all that. He was into, if anyone was preaching any kind of power positivity stuff, my dad had the book. He had the, you know, the tapes used to come in like an actual book of cassettes that he'd listen to in the car. And there, a lot of them now are on Spotify. But Zig Ziglar, I tell you, whenever Matthew McConaughey decides to do a Zig Ziglar movie, he's quoted him before, and I think he'd be amazing at him. This guy's just got a really interesting life, very just kind of, I don't know what kind of conflict he had, though, to be fair. So it might not make a very good film, but Matthew McConaughey would be perfect for him. Anyway, I was telling Terry on the walk to the crash, I said, Zig Ziglar tells this parable there's this grandfather walking along the beach, going to kind of Louisiana now. In the bayou. He's walking along the beach with his grandson and thousands of these sand dollars have washed up ashore. I think they're some sort of like shell, some sort of mollusk or whatever, right? And they're drying out in the sun and the grandfather starts picking up these sand dollars and tossing them back into the ocean. And the grandson says, but grandfather, there's thousands of these sand dollars. Surely you can't help them all. And the grandfather picks up one sand dollar and he says to his grandson, "No, I can't, but to this one, it'll mean everything in the world." And she's like, "Okay, all right, whatever." And that's what's great about marriage, is that you can be kind of very curt with each other, you know, and then you just have a shag and you're like chatting to each other again. It's great. There's a real hack to it. All you need is just like a little, there's some things you just can't do with actions and some things you can't do with like communication, that you just need to kind of go on a date and have a shag. And then, you know, it's kind of behind the scenes. Oxytocin's just doing shit for you, you know, hugging and stuff for too long. That's something I never really respected, was actually how the body works with your emotions, you know. Anyway, there's a load of these fucking heartworms anyway. And that's about that. And then I was telling Sonny about this thing. He was like, got into a weird kind of like philosophical conversation with him. We were reading Superman 78, which is, if Superman 3 didn't happen, a comic that takes place after Superman 2. So it's very Richard Donner. It's really good. Brainiac is the villain. He's drawn to look like a mix between Yul Brynner and David Bowie. And it looks more like David Bowie. And I'm like, this is awesome. You're kind of picturing it in your head. You know, the Superman is drawn like Christopher Reeve and Margot Kidder's, you know, in there, and Gene Hackman. And it has that real Richard Donner kind of sense of humor and the kind of whimsical kind of Superman that hopefully James Gunn does when he does All-Star Superman, or I think it's just called Superman now. But in it, Krypton, I'm saying Krypton now because that's the way Marlon Brando says it in the movie, Krypton explodes, as you know. That's why they sent Superman to Earth. Maybe you heard of him. And then later in the comic, spoiler alert for Superman 78, the comic, but you find out that Krypton was actually saved. It was saved by Brainiac. And Brainiac, I actually know nothing about Brainiac other than this comic because I'm a big DC guy. And Brainiac is actually, I think they call it Kandor. I actually think it is in the comic. But Brainiac has, he has shrunk Krypton and put it in a little glass case to protect them from themselves. And he wants to do the same with Earth. He collects worlds, but for this kind of altruistic kind of idea that he needs to protect them from themselves, or they'll destroy themselves. And Sonny was asking me, he was like, so he's trying to protect them? And I was like, yes, but he's like, but they don't want to be in the glass. And I'm like, no, they don't. And he's like, and you could see like the cogs turn. He didn't really understand it. So I tried to explain. I said, do you know the way we saw those earthworms? Now, those earthworms were out on the ground, weren't they? And the birdies could get them, couldn't they? And he was like, yeah. So we could protect those earthworms, couldn't we? We could take one of those earthworms, put it on a plate, give it some food, and put a glass over it. And then a birdie wouldn't be able to peck the glass, would he? He's like, no. But do you think the earthworm would like staying in one place and not being able to go home? And he said, no. So I said, so wouldn't we be kind of, in thinking we know better and protecting the earthworm, wouldn't we be kind of robbing the earthworm of its freedom? And he's like, yeah. Now, I am speaking fairly loaded questions. If I also said, and isn't the earthworm also an angel? He'd be like, yeah. But I think he got it. And, you know, because we were watching the Turtles movie, Mutant Mayhem, and there's a moment in it where Splinter kind of realizes that he's a lot like Superfly, expertly played by Ice Cube in the flick. Great flick. A bit too intense for the kids. I mean, fine in that it's not cruel. No one's really cruel and it's kind of funny, but he didn't really get any of the jokes. He takes everyone at face value. Watched Mutant Mayhem, like, and then watched, you know, the Batman, Lego Batman movie. And he's like, why is Batman being so rude? And I'm like, well, this is Lego Batman. You know, it's kind of a parody of Batman, you know. You need to have seen some of the other Batmen. And then also there was a clip in Lego Batman of Adam West dancing around. And he's like, why is that Batman being silly? And I'm like, all right. I was actually going to kind of turn him on to the Batman, the Adam West Batman. But this is the thing I need to remember, is that not so long ago, even a decade ago, when I was in my mid-20s, I would have been like, Zack Snyder has ruined Batman. Superman can't kill. He has ruined Superman. And then you just realize, no, do you know what? These are just fairy tales. Allegory stories. Like kind of like Rory stories, but allegories. Allegory stories. There's something in there. Write that down. Write that down, guys, and text to me. People are just taking these things and doing something with it. It's like taking a color. It's like taking, you know, you wouldn't take, you know, red paint, draw a big red dildo and say, I've ruined red. You know what I mean? In fact, I've fucking made red. So some of those things kind of get lost. The nuance is a bit lost on him. But Splinter kind of realizes he's a lot like Superfly in that he's like, in protecting my kids, and the same way Superfly was kind of protecting his mutants, he's actually robbed them of a lot of their agency, a lot of their own control. A lot of high concepts floating around the Matt Cantwell house, that's for sure. I've started reading this book, No More Mr. Nice Guy. It was recommended on a TikTok by a psychiatrist, by a psychologist, no, couples therapist, who said, someone asked him, what is the main problem that a lot of men have when they come to couples counseling? And he said that a lot of the problems are that men say that they're too nice. And even the wives can say sometimes that the men are too nice. Because one of the biggest issues in couples a lot of time is that men can kind of like placate. They don't reveal their true feelings. They agree to things that they don't want to do. And it comes from a thing called nice guy syndrome. And I was definitely like one of them. I was definitely like one of them when I was like a teen. I was definitely one of those kind of like, I'm a nice guy. You know, I'm just a nice person. Why don't guys ever see you the way I see you? Why can't they just see how mean you are, you know? And it's not that guys are jerks. It's not that the other guys are jerks. What it is guys are just kind of valuing the things that they want and clumsily going about getting them. And I'm not talking about really bad guys, you know, the like very, very bad people who are jerks and are heartless around like that.
Welcome to the Baby Tribe podcast, your essential companion through the journey of parenting. I'm Professor Afif Al-Kafash, a neonatologist, pediatrician, researcher, and lactation consultant at the Rotunda Hospital Dublin and the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland.
And I'm Katie Mugan, a pediatric and public health nurse and a lactation consultant. Together with over 40 years of experience in caring for infants and children, we're here to share expert insights, inspiring stories, and give you access to an amazing array of experts in parenting and the field of pediatrics. And we're covering topics that span all the childhood years, from infancy straight through to the adolescence. We're going to cover it all.
It's not going to be just about the challenges. It's going to be about the joys, the milestones, and stories that will hopefully warm your heart. And I'm sure, Katie, you're still going to give me as much abuse as you did before.
It's going to be a great season. Afif, and we're so pleased to have all you guys join with us.
Available every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts, in association with the Headstuff Podcast Network.
But you kind of do have to do some things to upset people. And I was so averse to that for years. I'm still quite averse to it. My natural instinct is to, that's why I like when I have a phone call with someone and they ask me to do something, I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then within a millisecond, I'll text back and say, actually, no. You know, in the moment, there has to be some sort of this conversation has to end on some sort of like emotional high point where we're all a bunch of Fonzies in here. And then in isolation, I can be like, actually, no. And sometimes, yeah. So it's an interesting book. I've only just started reading it. And it's just kind of analyzing these people. A lot of them sound like soft boys, not going to lie. A lot of them sound like absolute soft boys who kind of use kind of emotional manipulation to get places, you know, or advance relationships. But I think it's important. And then keep this kind of narrative that's kind of like, you know, I'm actually a nice guy, so I didn't do it. Or be passive aggressive, you know? By not doing something or by, like, I know I keep having to dig at Simon Harris, but he kind of reminds me of someone who's really nice, but will let out like a little bit of a barb, you know? I don't know where this comes from. He seems like a nice guy. I just don't respect him. He reminds me of that teacher that went on the Wicklow Way hike with us, and he was just too young, and we were all like saying we were in the room next to the room that he was sleeping in, and he could hear us because the wall. We found out later the walls were paper thin. You can listen back to the original Moon Tour Ragnarok if you want to hear that story on the pod. But the walls were paper thin, and we were just like, here, I actually just don't respect him. Imagine being a teacher with your eyes open, lying in a bunk bed with your supervising teacher above you, listening to someone say, I just don't respect him. Feel bad for that. A bit. But, you know, sometimes you just got to take this shit and be like, all right, well, now I have to just do some things to earn your respect. And not in a kind of prison rules kind of way. There's a lot of teachers that would come in being like, guys, it's my way or the highway. And I'm like, you've overshot it. You've overshot the mark here, right? Now I can see through it. But it's an interesting book. I'll keep you posted on what I take from it. But I think that being a clumsy kid who values the things that they want, but is able to kind of communicate, is far more important than just being, yeah, no, that's fine. But I'm also fucking stewing over here. And eventually I'm going to be a 36-year-old Taoiseach, and you'll fucking pay. You'll all pay. Simon Harris is not a soft boy. Seems like a nice guy. You know, I think he just needs a beard. I said this previously as well about, who was it? David Cameron, and what's your man, the Lib Dem guy? Nick? Utterly forgettable. That's why I don't remember. I just thought, if you're shorter than the guy you're walking around with and you're kind of like co-prime minister, grow a fucking beard, mate. Grow a beard. It covers a litany of sins, and it gives an unnecessary, you know, for the ease of access, the status that it can give you, just having a mustache or a beard. I highly recommend it. Because at least you just don't look like a boy. Need a beard trim, by the way. Not going to go back to the Turkish, by the way. They've been cutting it a little bit too short. And I think I just need... It did make me look younger. Look, it did make me look younger. I liked getting, you know, 11 different types of aftershave on. Like chatting to him. Hussein, he's a good guy. Some wild shit he'd be watching, though, on Russia Today. And it's mad. He's watching a lot of that kind of like Muslim TV. And I'm like, I don't know if this guy's a news anchor or if he's like a, you know, you've got the guy, the Muslim guy, he's wearing the kind of the black robe. And, you know, I think he might be speaking Arabic. I don't know. And then you just hear the odd word. It's like when you hear a bit of Irish, that's like they have to use the English word, you know. Like, I remember watching Passion Fashion, which was a show on TG Car, where lads would have to dress girls up on a date before they went on the date, and they would pick out the outfit. And I remember watching one, it was on after the OC on TG Car. I remember a guy picking up these jeans, and he's like, I don't know the Irish for jeans. Let's just say it's shoes, right? Brogy Jassa, August Talon Sparkles, Ansha, you know, Talon Sparkles. That's the same thing when you hear like a very angry Muslim news anchor. You know, you just hear a lot, you know, the odd thing, you know, bit of Arabic, Biden, bit of Arabic, America. And I'm like, that's cool. He seems annoyed. And I get it. I feel like that's the only time I actually get to see the fucking truth, actually, is when I go to the Turkish barber and he whips on, you know, some Islamic TV channel or Russia Today. I'm joking, of course. Although, I'd still like to have it. I'd still like to be able to decipher personally if Russia Today is bullshit. You know what I mean? I don't think they're going to turn me directly, you know, but... That's my critical thought. Critical thought and not raising a bunch of soft boys. That is my modus operandi for parenting and providing dog shit life coach parables. I think that's That's the kind of parent that I am. Got a couple of stag do's coming up. I'm actually so delighted that I'm sad because I'm, you know, I feel like Alexander. And Alexander wept for there were no more stags to go to. Stag do's. I love stag do's. I love it all. I love the pre-drink. I love the, say if you're getting on a coach, if you're driving down there, you're kind of using up most of your energy on like some 4-hour drive to Dingle or something, you know, chatting shy, stopping by at some super value, getting a roll, filling up the boot with a load of booze, a load of weird snacks, something weird, like candy laces, being like, oh, that might be nice. That might be nice for the boys. I'll do eggs, guys. Guys, I'll do eggs. And then no one's going to touch the fucking eggs. I'll do eggs and beans, guys. No one ever touches the eggs and beans. You get there. You're walking around. Bagsy, my room. It's like Big Brother. This is my room. Oh, I should. Let's bunk together. I know. Let's, you know, you're trying to be like grown adults. No, look, I'll bunk because I don't think he knows that person very well. But I'm also like, I get to stay in a room with my Bezzy. I get to stay in a room with my Bezzy. I wonder if we'll lay awake just chatting shy. Probably not, because we'll probably all go to bed at different times. But we might wake up and like just have a little chat. So might come down to the main room and the TV be on, and that's the best. That's the best buzz in the world. Fucking UTV is on, or ITV, and just watching some dog shit daytime show at a stag, and people are just coming in, finding their way in, looking like shit, just sitting down on the couch, just talking over the TV. It's the greatest joy in the world. I think if I had a VR hit list of dream scenarios, they would either be one of these two. The hungover chats while you're watching the TV before you have to go do the thing, like fucking sumo absorbing or five-a-side canoeing or whatever, right? Before you have to do the thing, you're just in your fucking dregs of clothes. Someone cracks a can. You're like, oh, here we go. That's mad. What do you like? What do you like? What do you like? Yeah, we'll grab a can. There's cold ones. There's cold ones in the bottom. Just, will you swap one out? Are you will, yeah. I'm home. What a joy. That would be one scenario, right? The other scenario is also a kind of like getting ready for the thing. I think my number one VR dream scenario would be pre-drinks, right? There's a clock. You're sitting in the front room. Someone's gaff, probably their parents' gaff. Parents have allowed you to just retire to the front room, have a couple of pre-drinks before you head in, right? The clock on the wall reads 10:45 for 8 hours. You're sitting there, you're tucking into cans. One of your mates is kind of like, lads, or the last bus is in like 25 minutes, or a drink up. And you're like, yeah. And then like you're chatting about stuff and you're kind of like giddy and you're still drinking. And then they're like, lads, bus is in 5 minutes, lads. And you just hear someone crack a can. Like, here, you can't, man. There's no time for that. I'll bring it on the bus. You'll get kicked off the bus, man. Stop. You're laughing at someone being a bit too bossy. They would be probably AI generated, I think, because you wouldn't want to kind of delegate that to someone. If we were all jumping into this kind of metaverse fantasy, you'd want that to be delegated. Someone, maybe you could even beat the shit out of them, you know? Maybe you could even like give them a wedgie or jock them. Or push them in a fire, you know? And then you're just kind of sitting around and you're laughing at this person. Someone's hooked up YouTube with a HDMI to the TV to show you some funny video. It's like 16 minutes long, but it's really good. It's really good fail army. You're just drinking and your man's like, Matt, we need to go now. And you're like, all right. Someone else comes in with something. Someone comes in with shots or something. Someone rolls a bifter. And just to live in that for like 8 hours of someone being like, we have to go now. I would just, and that's the joy, is just before the thing. That's just always that. What is it? Before you have to go to the stag event, before you have to go, people are showered before you head out to the pub and people are sat around the table having a couple of cans. What is it about it? It's like things are moving, but, you know, you're kind of in the moment. Don't know what it is. But I want to bottle it and I want to live in it. I was thinking as well recently that I need to get more videos of vibes, because we're not that far away from AI we could probably have a rudimentary technology now. So say if I had a 5-minute tripod video of me and my mates hanging out. Or a 5-minute video of a funny, you know, a breakfast with my kids. And they're talking and they're laughing. Young fellas ask me questions. You know, my daughter's like flinging yogurt everywhere. Just have a 5-minute video of that. You get a good look at the room. There's probably a rudimentary technology now that I could feed an AI that, and they could probably 3D map the whole thing. And they could probably make 3D models of everything that happens in that. So if that's the technology now, then the technology in like 5 years' time is going to be incredible. That I can upload some video. And then with kind of with either VR or with just holograms projecting into the room you're in, you could probably live in those moments again. And I'm not talking about like that Apple Vision Pro kind of, you know, they can record 3D videos. I'm talking about just, you know, what's essentially a 2D video become 3D that you can walk around in. A lot of people are doing kind of vertical videos, and that's great. And they're all little moments. But if I look back on my photo album, they're always kind of small things, small little moments, almost Instagram stories, short form content of life that doesn't go anywhere. It's private, doesn't go public. But I think if I start investing in recording long form vibes, that it'll stand, because I reckon that the technology is just around the corner that I can actually just sit in that, you know, maybe even just crack a can, maybe even sit there with a bunch of crunchy nut while my kids are too old to give a shit about me, and I can just live in that forever, you know. But anyway, WrestleMania was this week. I haven't seen it, but I don't think I've ever been more excited for. I have WrestleMania 17, The Rock, Stone Cold, the Limp Bizkit My Way promo video. If you haven't, just Google WrestleMania 17, Rock, Austin promo video. It's an all-timer of pure fucking hype, but I'm so hyped for this. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't even want to speculate now because it's going to be too dated. I reckon what's going to happen is something that I don't like. I reckon The Rock's going to go out, kick the shit out of Cody Rhodes, and Roman Reigns is going to retain his title clean. Well, not clean, but he's going to pin Cody Rhodes. There's too much heat on wrestling right now, meaning too many eyes, too much tension. It's shit hot right now. That they did a thing last year where Cody Rhodes, the good guy, didn't win. And then what it led to is, you know, probably more eyes on wrestling than has ever been. More eyes on the WWE than has ever been. Last year, people were saying AEW was maybe the superior product to watch. And now it's WWE. Vince McMahon is out of the picture. Will they? It would be the business, the smart business decision would be to extend the conflict that's happening and for us not to get closure would be the very smart thing. But it would also benefit them to give fans what they want and for people to call this the best WrestleMania ever. So it's hard to know. But it got me thinking about, like, we used to, like, I want to get Youngfella into it, but I think I need to wait until he's, like, probably 8. There's a couple of things like that. Video games, I think I need to wait. I don't mind anyone. I mean, my niece is a gamer, and that's just what, you know, who she is. She's always loved games. She's always, and, like, really into it. And that's how she and, you know, my brother play together a lot, you know, and it's great. That's how I kind of communicate with her a lot about games, about Animal Crossing, asking her about her island, asking what she's playing, telling her cool shit that I've seen. She's playing Pal World now, for example. But I think knowing my young flip, I think he already gets so fucking wound up when we turn the TV off that I think with games, I feel like there's no going back. I feel like he'd be like, this over everything else. This over football, swimming, whatever. Whatever he wants to do. Because that was it for me. And then I became a soft boy. it wasn't. But, you know, we didn't have a name for it then. I wasn't toxic. Look, I'm not, anyway, enough about me. And I think it's great. I see a lot of dads on Reddit, online, playing games with their kids, and it's great. And they can do it in moderation. But knowing what a sucker he is for IP, I'd love if he was able to, like, read a book. I'd love if he was able to, like, get into Tolkien, you know? Tolkien. I'd love if he was able to, like, read Warhammer and tell me all the cool things that happen in it. I'd love if he was able to read things just to be curious. There's almost, when you have something that's so mainstream like video games, you're not really, you're getting the curated best of everything. And there's so much good stuff there that there's not as much room for discovery. You're just kind of playing the thing that everyone's playing. And especially when you get into multiplayer, then, you know, forget about it. So I'd like him to have a bit more kind of discovery before we get into that. But also wrestling, like we were wrestling so young. I remember my brother, I must have been like six, him giving me a fucking razor's edge off the couch and me landed on my neck. And that was one of the light injuries, you know. I've jumped off, we had ladder matches, my cousin Omar's. It was just a ladder for some reason in his ma's bedroom. And we were like recreating, you know, Bubba Ray Dudley going off the ladder. We were recreating Jeff Hardy getting a spear hanging off the title belt. We even did like senton bombs. Those are front flips off Omar's shed onto mattresses. Doing massive. Always been a big fan of the elbow drop. The good Shawn Michaels elbow drop. And I even broke my arm one time getting a stunner off my brother. I was doing that thing where, like, you know, it used to be a thing where you'd kick and then Stone Cold would spin the leg around and then give him a stunner. So my brother spun my leg around and broke my arm. Didn't even get the stunner in the end. I remember seeing a lad give someone, I think my brother's mate Simon, gave someone a stunner in a real fight. And like, obviously it doesn't do anything. Stunner is probably the least effective but coolest looking. And cool and violent, and there's a pop to it, and there's a recoil that happens from a stunner. I'm sure you've seen The Rock. He takes the best stunner. Well, he overdoes it a bit, but you get the kind of from a stunner. And Simon gave this guy a fucking stunner, and then just ran away. But you win the fight. You give someone a stunner, you win the fight. So look, I'm not gonna be talking too much about WrestleMania. I haven't seen it. I will probably have a guest on. Talk about WrestleMania, what it means for wrestling. I'm back in a big way, but I'm not going to clog your ear holes with that right now because I haven't seen it. But look, thanks very much for watching this pod. It's over on YouTube. And if you'd like to see me on tour, I'm going to be in Dundalk this week in the Spirit Store. I'm going to be in, where am I going to be? I'm going to be in Greystones for two nights the following week, April 25th and 26th, might be 24th, 25th. Check it out. Would love to see you there. And go on at Tony Hart on Instagram. There's a little link tree link in there and you can find all the dates. All the tickets are available. I'd love to see you there. All the best. Bye-bye.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.